Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here, the 75th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by Eric Darnell. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So Eric, I just watched a wonderful little VR experience, Crawl the Legend. Let's just start quickly to outline a bit what was, how you ended up making this this beautiful little 22-minute film. Should I call it film? Should I call it a different kind of experience? Just give me that.
Well, it's certainly not a film because it's in VR, and VR is a different medium than film. It's not an extension. It's really something different. And those folks that have put on a headset know what I'm talking about, and those that haven't will have a hard time understanding because it's one of those things you just have to do. But anyway, Crow, the story, is based on a Native American legend. And when I read it, I was so impressed by the story itself and the themes behind it. I was really surprised that it wasn't more well-known in the United States or the world. So it became our mission at Baobab to bring this story that has been passed down through generations in many forms in many different tribes in North American, Native American culture, into this brand new medium of VR.
And tell me, regarding storytelling, what is your approach? Because at the end of the day, VR is still kind of uncharted territory. You know, there's a lot of known rules, or maybe there's a safer path, which is going back to the same sort of tropes that you have in different ways of telling the story. When you were discussing how to make Crow with your team, you wanted to kind of like almost cross away, you know, be free, or you already had a sort of a mindset how to use sound, how to use music, the visuals, you know, this 360-degree constant experience?
Well, Baobab has had some experience with a couple other pieces, sort of getting a better grip on what are these mysterious tools that VR can bring to storytelling. But storytelling itself is our real focus. You know, we're not making games or other kinds of experiences. So the good news is stories have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and they're hardwired into the human brain. So our belief is, as long as we stay true to the story, and never lose sight of that, that we'll be okay. And then the challenge becomes discovering those things in VR that allow us to tell that story successfully, but also tell it in a way that it couldn't be told in any other medium. And I'm often asked, you know, what's it like, you know, to be a director and give up control in VR? But I don't feel like I give up control in VR. Mm-hmm. I just have different kinds of control. Mm-hmm. I can't force the viewer to look anywhere, but I can inspire them to look exactly where I want them to look, when I want them to look there, if I do my job right. You can use sound, you can use composition that the viewer sort of instinctively creates for themselves. You can inspire the viewer by their own need to discover something. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, the simple way to look at it is what I heard this magician say, that magicians have this saying that if you want the audience to look at something, look at it. Mm-hmm. And if you want the audience to look at you, look at the audience. So we start there, and we can use sound and all these other things to help guide the viewer through the story, because most people want to follow the story. But especially when in VR, where it's such a new medium, some people don't even realize at first that they can even turn their head, because they think it's like watching a movie. Sometimes people will be sitting there just staring straight ahead, and I'll lean in and go, you know, you can turn your head to the side. And then they slowly rotate their head, and suddenly it's like, oh my God, there's stuff over here. So there's a learning curve, but once or twice in the headset, and you get it.
Yeah, I'll just link to that with what you just said about the learning curve, because I'm kind of intrigued to know the creative process. So for example, you know, like, let's go back to film. So you start from writing, then of course there's a production side, which maybe you have some dailies, then some post-production. So there's a sort of a linear way to create and end up with the final product. But in VR, what happens? So like, for example, you start like with a little bit, and then you just wear the goggles and try and see if that works out. I'm just kind of curious how it goes also with your team, you know, this sort of back and forth, production, I say.
Yeah. Well, as you might guess, you know, we always start with a story. And that may start as a paragraph or a page or several pages, and then I write a script. And the primary difference between the scripts I write and the scripts that are mostly written for film or television is that it's from the first person. So it starts with, you are standing on a frozen lake. You hear a sound and look to your left to discover a little bunny is hopping your way. So it's all like, it's a script that describes the experience that I want the viewer to have. And then there are many similarities in terms of traditional film production. You know, we have this visual development, and storyboarding is a little bit of a challenge because it's not... Storyboarding works in film because it's based on a frame, and in VR, storyboarding is a different kind of a beast. But whatever like process we go through, we also bring a level of humility because we recognize that we don't know a lot about what it takes to make VR, whether it's what the piece itself needs to be in the end or how to get there. It's a discovery process. Everything we do is an experiment. And so what we end up doing is finding fresh eyeballs all the time, pulling people from, you know, other offices in the building we're working at or off the street, or bringing in friends or relatives or wherever we can get them to watch them, to watch our work in whatever stage it's at. Sometimes when it's really rough, it's excruciating because you go, oh, no, I know they're not going to like it, but I can still learn a few things by watching them. Because once you've seen it once and you know what it is, then you don't bring any value to the table because you have to be fresh. It has to be something that you're experiencing for the first time to really be valuable for us. So we learn a lot by testing and testing and testing over and over and over again. And then that's how we discover some of the tools that we know and will work in the future, and we don't have to test them as early or as often because we know. I give you a simple example. There's a moment in our first piece, Invasion, where a spaceship goes behind a stand of trees, and then you hear the sound of the spaceship getting closer, and the music is building dramatically. And in my mind, everybody's going to be glued to the trees to, like, because here it's coming, and it's getting closer, and the dramatic tension is building. And what I found is after a few seconds of that, people stopped looking at the trees and they started looking like everywhere else, going, well, where is the ship? And, you know, understand that in virtual reality, the sound itself is pinpointed to a location in space. So the sound was coming from behind the trees, and yet they mistrusted their own senses and started looking elsewhere because they could. In a movie, you can't look anywhere else. You're just going to sit there and take it, you know, and the tension will build. But the tension got to a point where people had to look elsewhere, and most people never saw the ship come over the trees because they were looking off somewhere else. So I realized, yeah, this is not a movie. This is VR. And I had to cut that time down significantly so that 99% of the audience was still looking at the trees when the ship actually appeared. And I never would have learned that if I hadn't have gone out and tested it with outside audiences.
This is actually extremely interesting because, for example, you said that, like, some people stay there frozen and don't move. I had the opposite problem. I was moving too much, so the lady had to bring me constantly, you know, to the ideal point. And how do you foresee then the fruition as well of VR? So do you think it has to be maybe sadly an isolating kind of world, and therefore you have only one person at a time? Or you can see it also like a collegial, maybe, you know, in the future there'll be all the goggles will be intertwined, so you have the entities of the audience because everyone is a protagonist in a way. I'm just curious to see, like, where do you see the future of VR in that kind of sense of the fruition, so the way that the audience can take it in?
Well, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners know of the holodeck, you know, from Star Trek, and I'm not saying we're going to get there anytime soon, but that's kind of like where everybody's imagining we're going someday, right? And so the real question is, like, what are going to be the steps along the way, and how long is it going to take? You know, I don't have the answers for that, except that I have done some experiences where I'm inside the headset and a friend is inside the headset, and together we're accomplishing something, and it's really cool. It really feels like you're sharing an experience. In this case, it was one where I looked like a lizard, and as did my friend, and our voices were filtered, so it had a weird sound to it, and so we sounded like, you know, lizards, I suppose, if they could talk. But it was just delightful. It was just fun, and the tone was great, and I was able to interact with my friend as we ran across this open plain, and monkeys were attacking us, and it was just a joy. And you know, you can have those. There are experiences like that you can share with somebody else in the same room, but also they can be on the other side of the planet, and you can do that kind of thing as well. So, in you know, little incremental steps, we will get there. But I think this this sort of dystopian thing you hear a lot about, you know, headsets are going to just trap people in their own little isolated worlds, and they're going to disconnect from the rest of the world, is I don't think that's the only thing that the future could hold for us. I think that it'll take time, and anything that's really powerful will have the ability to do good or evil. You know, I think for me and others, it's about finding what's good about VR.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thank you for being with us here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.